besides thee. Home in heaven but thee. Worship him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, and say glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We invite you, Lord God. Bless your people, Lord. Speak to every heart, Lord Jesus. Lord, we welcome you in this service, oh God. Oh God, we pray you touch the young, the old, Lord Jesus. Remember those, Lord God, that have fallen away, Lord. Strengthen them, Lord. Restore them, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh God, we need you, Father. We invite you, Lord Jesus. Glory, Lord. Do not pass me by. That last verse, the spring of all your comfort. Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? In heaven but thee, oh Lord, and we're singing, Savior, oh my Savior. Hear our humble cry, hear our humble cry. Yes, Lord. Singing, Savior, oh my Savior, oh hear my humble cry. And Lord, while on others thou art calling, oh do pass me by. Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We appreciate you, Lord. Glory. Amen. He deserves all the glory. You may be seated. We have the Spoken Word Church choir. Come on up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You happy in the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on up, Spoken Word Church.
resurrection.
If you're looking for the voice,
the resurrection,
his voice,
his voice is in Christ. Amen.
If you're looking for the voice,
voice of the resurrection.
Oh, if you're looking for the voice,
voice of the resurrection.
If you're looking for the voice,
the resurrection,
his voice,
his voice is in Christ.
If you want a body change,
God can change your body.
Oh, if you want a body change,
God can change your body.
If you want that body change,
God can change your body.
Just eat,
just eat and follow the word of God. Change your body.
Oh, if you want that body change, church.
God can change your body.
If you want that body change,
God can change your body.
Just
eat from the body word of God. If you're looking to rise,
rise in the morning.
If you're looking to rise,
rise in the morning.
If you're looking to rise
in the morning.
In the evening time, if you want a body change,
God can change your body.
If you want a body change,
God can change your body.
If you want a body change,
God can change your body.
Just keep from the body word of God. Oh Lord,
if you're looking to rise, church,
rise in the morning.
Oh, if you
rise in the morning.
If you're looking to
rise in the morning,
you better get ready in the evening time. If you're looking to rise, church,
rise in the morning.
Oh, if you're looking to rise,
rise in the morning.
If you're looking to
rise in the morning,
you better get ready.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise Him. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Thank you, Jesus.
Love it, Sal. All right. Good to see everybody. Some more coming in. So just find you a place, sit down, fellowship with us. We'll try to do our best to fellowship through the Word. All right? Amen. But let's just stand before we bring a brother out and do a normal thing. Everybody always says you can't be a church without the offering, but that's, you know, that's a good point, brother. Please.
Gracious Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father God, once again for the opportunity, Lord, to be here, Father God, to feast upon your word, Lord. And Father God, as the song said, Lord, we're feasting, Father, on the body, word of God, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for this opportunity. We ask you now that you bless, Lord, the offering that we're about to take up, Lord, and bless the ones that can give and even the ones that cannot give, Lord God. You know every heart and every need here amongst us, Father.
Let's just sing one more song, then we'll get our brother out and get started in the service, okay?
Praise the Lord.
Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's a counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. Saving me and keeping me from all sin and
others come in, so just find you a seat, and we say to you, welcome. We have a way around here at every service. We say it this way. When somebody new's there, we say, we make you welcome. You come two times, you're part of us. So that's just the way it is. If you've been here before, you're part of us. If not, welcome. Glad to have you with us tonight in the service and things. And just glad to be able to do. Look, I don't see anybody from Brother Homer's. Maybe some of them throughout. Atlanta has got problems with all the weather conditions and all, but that's all right. But let's just sing Open the Eyes, Brother Aaron McGarry, ever how he pronounces his name. I can't never get it right. McGarry. But he knows his name anyway. So we'll just call him out and say, welcome. Come and pour out his heart unto us. And he'll be with us, the Lord willing, tomorrow in the services. So if you don't have nowhere to go, come be with us. They're doing, but we say thank you to all of you. You know, okay?
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see
learning more and more what instant means.
Right.
It says instant, in season, out of season. I don't know what season it is. I just know this is an instant where I was under the expectation there'd be about an hour, hour and a half before I would be called up to the pulpit. So I'm glad I didn't take my shoes off or take a nap or anything, because all of a sudden I noticed they're singing my song. So we're excited to get into the Word. Usually a preacher's just chomping at the bit. And This is the perfect song service, just a song, a special, and end of the word. But I know there may be more following, but we'll just do our part and lift up the word for a few moments with you. It's good to be here and have my wife and four children. We've known some of you for many, many years. Some of you just getting to meet for the first time. And this is probably a good practice before we minister tomorrow, because my manner of ministry may be different for you, or you may have never heard me preach before, so it takes some getting used to. And if you need to get used to me, well, I have to get used to you too. My first time ever preaching here, and we appreciate the invitation, Brother Samuel, the opportunity to be here and minister at this fellowship meetings. It's just a real great privilege, and we've met Brother Wade before, and appreciate the fellowship and the extension of the invitation. While you're standing, if we could just turn to Psalms 23, I'd like to read the whole chapter. And it's just Psalm 23, not any other psalm that may be many pages long, just six verses here in Psalm 23. And this might be one of those psalms that some could quote by heart, but we wanted to use verse 5 in particular today just to share a thought on the bride's secret feast. I thought it might be appropriate since this is a fellowship afternoon and we'll have service and then go feast on natural food. Let's just fellowship on the spiritual food that God's prepared for us. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're so happy to be gathered together this afternoon. And Lord, as it's customary for these many churches to come together, for some, it might just seem to be that, a custom or a tradition. But Lord, we just ready ourselves now, realizing that if you were to gather this many elect under one roof, Lord, you would desire to speak to us. You would desire to do something supernatural. So we yield to you now, Lord, desiring that you come, take the bread of life as only you can, break it to us as the master of the house, feed us by it, Lord. So we ask you to come now and just minister to our hearts through your word for a few moments together as family before we continue to fellowship around the word with different ones, perhaps sharing things from their heart, Lord, and gathering around a natural table together to eat natural food. May you have the preeminence in all of it, Lord. And we ask you to bless this reading of the word, Lord, and the rest of this service. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may have your seats. Just going to jump right into it here. In verse 5, it says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And so we know when he says, thou preparest a table, he's speaking about God. So this is the Lord's doing. This is something that God has done. And the word preparest, it means to furnish something or set it in order. So he ordains a table. God has set in order a table. And that table is not just any word in the way that this word could be used. It signifies a sacred table, something that has sacred use, something that's been set aside. It actually, if you were to look at the definition of the meaning behind the word that's used here, it speaks of the king's table. So it says, thou hast prepared a table before me. And this table is a private table. It's a table for an exclusive party, as it speaks of a king's table. And so in this scripture, David is remarking that God has prepared him a secret feast, one that not everybody is invited to. It's a feast for only a special group of people, a select group of people. And I love how he says it, because it seems to be such a contradiction or paradox. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. It's a really odd place to eat. It's a really odd place to have a picnic or to set a table up to have a meal. And to say in the presence, it means at a distance and away from. So it's not just that your enemy's right on top of you, but it's in spite of the enemy, he's prepared the table. Even though I have enemies round about me, God has prepared a table. It's in spite of the enemy, and in such a way that they cannot prevent the feast. But one thing that you have to notice is the enemy is there. And despite the presence of the enemy, God prepares a feast for him. And the enemy is a hostile adversary. It's one which is against the truth and against those to whom the truth is ordained for. And Brother Branham says, anyone against the word is your enemy. And so he says, he's prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemy. And I want to use this table in Psalms 23:5 as a representation of the bride's secret feast. God has prepared her a table. He's prepared her a table in the presence of her enemies. And this is a secret feast. It's a hidden feast, but it's also a protected feast. It's a feast which is safe because he's prepared a table in the presence of your enemies where they're there and he does it in spite of them. And in Psalms 27, which to me is a remarkable scripture in the message, how Brother Branham takes Psalms 27 and he connects it with the rapture. And David begins to write that the Lord is my light and my salvation. He's the strength of my life. And though the wicked, even my enemies, would come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Why? He says, because I've desired one thing, and in this will I be confident, that I'll seek after your face. For in a time of trouble, you'll hide me in the secret of your tabernacle. And he says, now is my head lifted up above my enemies. Right there in the secret of his presence, in the secret of his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle. Even though the enemies are there, he lifts your head up above them. And David said, my enemies are all around me. And we may feel the presence of our enemies identifying themselves more and more. We recognize, oh, that's my enemy. That's my enemy. These things are my enemy. But yet in the presence of the enemy, he prepares a table. Again, I want you to ponder the paradox of it. This is a prepared table. And David said, though a host should encamp about me, though I'm surrounded by the enemies. Normally a surrounded soldier would eat in haste. He wouldn't have time for a table. He wouldn't have time for all the trappings of a nice meal. He would have to eat in haste and maybe even forego eating to ready himself for a fight. But here, there's nothing as hurried. There's no confusion of war. There's no disturbance. Yeah, the enemies are there, but despite the enemy's presence, I'm feasting. Amen. Why? Because it's a secret feast. Amen. The enemy doesn't even know what you're doing. Amen. The enemy can't even see the table. The enemy doesn't even know how to get there. But yet there you are in calmness and stillness in the presence of your enemies, in the presence of adversaries. You can just be calm there at a table prepared by the king to feast. It's a secret feast. In Revelation chapter 3 verse 20, which should have special significance to us who know the age of Laodicea. Right. And then after the description of Laodicea, now there's a something supernatural that happens. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. So there's something remarkable that happens here at the end of the Laodicean church age in the order of these prophecies where the Lord steps down into Laodicea and it's for the purpose of a feast. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And it's not so much that you hear the knocking, but you've got to hear his voice. If any man hear my voice and open the door, it says, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he will sup with me. This word sup and the word that's used, it speaks of a supper or a feast. Specifically a formal meal which is held at the evening time. Where there is time where you take food and food is eaten at a particular time. And he says, I will come and if you'll open the door to my voice, I will come into you and I will feast with you and you will feast with me. So he's promised an evening time feast with his bride. And this is a formal dinner. When he says, I'll sup with them, he's not saying we'll have a snack. No, right, yeah. This isn't a snack. This is a meal of multiple courses. It isn't. He didn't step down into this age that we're living in now and say, well, here's an apple, here's a banana, here's something to hold you over. I know many times we do a lot of traveling in the ministry and we do over 25,000 miles a year just driving together as a family. And there's many times where a kid will say, I'm hungry. And we know we're getting to a restaurant where no one coming up ahead, maybe an hour away. And we'll give something to the kids to hold them over. Listen, in this journey, God just didn't give you something to hold you over. He gave you something to get you to the end of the journey. Just as Elijah witnessed the strength of that meat many days, he's given the bride something that'll not just hold them over, but get them out of here. Brother Branham says in the message, turn on the light. He references the scripture, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God, the bread of life. Not just part of the words, every word of God, every age. Just don't stay and eat beans and potatoes all the time. There's other things that goes with it. As we go on into the full course of God's great dinner that's set before his people, the power of the Holy Ghost, the rejoicing of it, of the power and the spirit that has been given. And he's using a language which some could key in on this part and some can key on the other part. But he's trying to get us to understand that this is a full course of God's great dinner. So there's a man here who can turn on the light, and he's prepared a table for us in the presence of our enemies to have a full course of God's great dinner. Not just one part, not just a taste here and a taste there. This isn't just a tasting menu. This is the full menu. And the seed not air with the shuck, he says, neither will a Christian eat on the dead carrions from old denominational doctrines and things. Just as he's speaking of how an eagle won't feast on the dead things. Right. And he talks about a hawk losing its position and all these vultures and things. But he says a Christian won't eat on dead carrions from old denominational doctrines and things. They want the word of God fresh. Amen. Is that you? Amen. You want the word of God fresh. He says the promise of the hour. Amen. So that's what we want, is not just something from a day gone by, but what has been prepared for this hour. He said God promised rabbits in the days of Luther. He promised other things in the days of others. But now, listen, there's been a change in diet. There's been an evolution of diet. They ate rabbits in the days of Luther. They ate other things in other days. But I want bright age food. I want the food that's for my time, for my table, for the time I'm living in. He says, but now he promised us a full square meal. Well, in Luther's day, they were happy to be eating rabbits. They enjoyed it, especially after those dark ages and the famine for the word of the Lord and the word being held back under the Catholic rule. But he gave a little bit of rabbits in Luther's day, a little bit more in Wesley, a little bit more under Pentecost. But now we've got a full square meal. Oh, I love how he continues. The full seven course meal for all. Yes, sir, and I'm glad you can see it right here in black and white. For all the seven seals are open. And everything is ready for the word of God to those who can receive. It's amazing. You can read that. Some people start shaking their heads. No, seals aren't open. I don't even know what I've wandered into. I just was told you guys love the word. So then I'm just going to preach the word. And if you don't believe the seals are open, I just want you to read it from the prophet's words. He says, all the seven seals are opened and everything is ready for the word of God to those who can receive. So we have a seven course menu, as it were. We have a full square meal laid out before us. And who's it for? Only for the bride. It is only for those who hear his voice and open the door. If any man hear my voice and will open the door to me, I will come into him and he into me, and I will sup with him and he with me. This is the day where this transpires. And so the bride's feast is a secret feast. Something the make a believer knows nothing of. Something nominal Christians do not know. It's something that make believer, unbeliever cannot enjoy. Now they can pretend to be eating what you're eating. But they can't eat what you're eating. It's only for the elect. It's only for his bride. Brother Branham makes this statement, and God is his own interpreter. My, it's such a wonderful atmosphere. It's a shame I only get 40 minutes. He says, now that's the word that's prophesied today. Not Luther's light, not Wesley's light, and not even the Pentecostal light. Now we got to have the right attitude, because we're not looking down on Luther's light. We're not looking down on Wesley's light. We're not looking down on even the Pentecostal light. Don't take a bad attitude towards them. You're standing on their shoulders. If there wasn't a Luther's day, we wouldn't be here. If there wasn't a Wesley's day, we wouldn't be here. If there wasn't a Pentecostal light, we wouldn't be here. If there hadn't have been any of them and we were the bride, we'd have to be Luther's. We'd have to be in justification. So we can't look back, Pentecostal, justification. No. We are bride age because there has been other ages. So we don't look down upon them, but then we realize, as he says, that we're not even in the Pentecostal life. He says it's gone on up the road now. I think of the way that he phrases this. It's gone on up the road now. It's moved further. And as David writes in Psalms 23, 1 to 3, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And I'm just wanting to amplify how Brother Bram says, it's gone up the road. The light, the word has gone up the road. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. When I was younger, I guess I'd never really got the semicolon. I thought, the Lord's my shepherd, I don't want him. I don't know why, I was like, this is just really seems odd to me. Yep, yep. The Lord's my shepherd, I don't want. But it means the Lord's my shepherd, I don't have lack.
Amen.
He provides all that I need. In him, I am self-sufficient. So he says, the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I'm not lacking.
Amen.
Think of what the bride's been given in this hour. He says, he maketh me to lie down, catch this, in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He's leading me. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So there's a shepherd that's leading, and as he leads, he's making sure all your needs are met. He's making you lie down by still waters, but he leads you there. Why? Because it's going on up the road. He restores your soul because he leads you in the paths of righteousness. He's leading you.
Come on.
He says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That very phrase that's used, green pastures, that means new grass.
Yeah,
I ponder that. Really think really hard now. This isn't grass that's been trampled under. This isn't grass that Pentecostal's done cleaned out or Luther's done cleaned out. He's saying this is new grass. This is a field that's never been eaten in before. This is a pasture that he saved for the elect at the end time. As I was leading them out of the dark ages, they ate over here. As I led them further, they ate over there, but now I brought you to the best ground. Now I brought you to a sacred ground. Now you're feasting where no one else has ever feasted before. Brother Branham says in Invisible Union, God has separated us from all the dead religions. He says, I'm speaking across the nation now, all the dead creeds, and to what? Separated us and opened to us a new land. This is a new land. A new message for this day.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He leadeth me. Daddy, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. New grass. He says he opened up to us a new land, a new message for this day. Pentecost dried up and died like Luther and Wesley and the rest of them. The life of it is now where? It's where the new grass is. That's why there's justification there. That's why there's sanctification there. That's why there's the restoration of gifts, baptism, holds. It's all in this new land. He says it's no more than a bunch of churches pulled together. Good people in there, yet has got to be come out. What did he do? He opened up the seven seals of the last message. Now, if you follow his, as he's leading us, this is the way the Lord's leading. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He's trying to lead you, and he's showing the way to go. He says, Luther's dried up. Wesley's dried up. Pentecost is dried up. He says, but he's opened up the seven seals of the last message. That's what gets the good people out of there. It's the opening of this word. That's what brings the real elect out. Not gathered together in little meetings here and there, but to really come to the new land. To really come to lie down and rest in green pastures. This is what brings us out. This is what quickens us to life. The opening of this word.
Amen.
The message, desperation. He's speaking how what God has done in this hour. He says those great mysteries hidden in the Bible opened up to us on a new field that we never knowed before. And perfectly blends into the coming of the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
If it perfectly blends in, then you don't see the divide.
Right.
If a carpet layer blends carpet in, you don't see the seam. So where there's a blending, where something blends together, he's saying what has been opened up now is a new field.
Yes,
this is Brother Branham's words. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. This is new grass, a fresh field. Open up to us a new land, a new message for this day. Open up the seven seals of the last message. Open up to us a new field that we never knowed before. You're feeding on something that nobody in any other age has ever known before. You could say, well, they didn't need it in those ages. Okay, that's fine. We needed it, so we got it. So the secret feast then is connected with the opening of the word. That's where Brother Branham places it. So it's a hidden manna, something secret that's come for the bride. Brother Branham, when he's praying at the end of 1962, and he says, oh God, he's just praying at the very end there, may we be one step higher up the ladder until we can see Jesus and his program. Now, what a wonderful prayer there at the end of 62. Now we have the benefit of looking back.
And in looking back, we know what was approaching. Brother Branham sensed it as he preached, sirs, is this the time? And the sermons that he was preaching around then, even shortly afterwards, he could sense that something was coming, this new ministry, which was the open of the word and the open of those seven seals and meeting that constellation of angels out there in Arizona. So there's something within him just stirring. And even as a prophet, he's saying, I want to take a step higher up the ladder. Lord, may you grant this so that we can see Jesus and his program. So this was his program here in 1962 as he prays at the end. Lord, there's got to be something open up for us. And so a few paragraphs later, he says, forgive us and help us, we pray. Raise up mighty men. Raise up mighty warriors of the faith. He says, open this year, Lord, the hidden manna. What was he looking for? Open up this year, Lord, the hidden manna, the rock beneath the rock, that we might see the program of God. So when he said, I want to take a step higher to see the program of God, to see Jesus, where was it? It was something that needed to be opened up. It was the hidden manna. It was the rock beneath the rock. That's how we would see the program of God. I believe God answered his prayer. I don't believe the bride is stuck in 1962. A message came in 1963 to help her to take a step higher so that she could see Jesus, see his program, to have a hidden manna. Brother Branham says in harvest time, the hidden manna is just for the overcomer only. It's a hidden manna. It's a secret feast. And this is bread he's talking about. And bread is symbolic of life. Because it was the substance of living. It's what gave the person, they would eat bread for their substance. It wasn't always guaranteed meat. It wasn't always guaranteed that. But bread and grain, that was something that represented life. Manna, it's strength for life. They would eat to live. I know that's hard to imagine because many of us live to eat. And I admit I'm guilty. As a matter of fact, I'll just admit, I was looking at good places to eat on the drive down. It's only a 3-hour drive. Not even 3 hours, but I'm where do I need to go? Where do I need to go eat? Why? Because it almost seemed to live to eat. What are we all here for today anyways? I know you didn't come to hear me. I thought maybe I'd just surprise you a little bit. Just preach my heart out. But it's something you should eat to live. That's what bread represents. I'm eating to live. In Psalms 27, he said, Lord, the Lord is the strength of my life. He's my bread. He's what gives me substance to live. And Jesus says in John 6:48, I am the bread of life. That's right. He said, I am the bread of life. In verse 51, if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. So something about this bread that gives you power over death. If you take the whole thing, if you could take this bread and eat it. And this has special significance in the end time, as the Psalms 27:1 says, the Lord is the strength of my life. He's bread at the end time. And Brother Branham in the rapture message says, what is the shout? The Lord himself shall descend with the shout. He says, it's the message going forth first. And he says, the living bread of life bringing forth the bride. Christ is that living bread of life. It has been opened up to us at the opening of these seven seals. And it's not just something we talk about. It's something we eat. Just as John took that book and ate it. And the angel said, don't just hold it. Just don't look at it. He said, take it and eat it up. Leave nothing of it behind. Take it completely. Let it be processed and assimilated in your being. I want to take this book and eat it all. He says, take this book and eat it. It's the living bread of life bringing forth the bride. That's what this message is. The living bread of life is Christ. He says, I am the bread of life. Brother Abraham says, and why little Bethlehem? We must have something fresh from Christ. His word today for this hour. He is our freshness. Our bread that falls every day from heaven upon the believer. Amen. I believe this message is still giving out something fresh. We don't have to try to be strange. We don't have to try to come up with something new. Just go into this message. Stay with it. Listen to it. Read it. Process it. Make it something important within your home, within your daily lives. Say, Lord, this is life to me. This is bread to me. If I could say it this way, and I hope you can understand where I'm trying to place my emphasis, we shouldn't just be sitting here twiddling our thumbs hoping that some Jesus is going to crack the sky and get us out of here. He's given us a bread to feed on, to lead us to our unseen bridegroom. The more we eat, the closer we get to meeting. I'm eating to that meeting. I want to keep eating this bread because it's this bread. Even as they sang the song in this special, feed on this word. It'll change your body. That's what's going to do it. I'm not waiting for something out there supernatural to happen. I want these two omnipotents to meet. I want this word that I've been given. I want to feed on it till it changes this body. And it's this message. We don't need a new man to rise up and give us something to tickle our ears. There are no other messengers. We've received the last one. Spiritual food in due season. Oh, there's so many things I could have read from this. But he says, but those who believe God's hour that we're living in, these things are hidden food. Amen. And he's talking a lot about Elijah. Elijah had a secret place he could go. He was eating in the middle of a famine, the middle of everything. There's no food. He said, Elijah had something. He said, these things are hidden food. He said, just think. And he's using a lot of types with Elijah and Elisha there. He says, God has so hid it that they look right at it and don't see it. And sometimes we have to admit, sometimes there's a peer pressure. Because we're looking at it and we've seen it. I mean, can you believe it? That's our Lord up there. Look at that. Isn't that amazing what God has done? And you're so excited. They're just like, well, yeah, that's great. And they don't even know what you're looking at. They just kind of go along with the flow a little bit. They just try to make themselves fit in. But listen, God has so hid it that they look right at it and don't see it. The same way that Elijah blinded the Syrian army. The same way that God blinds the unbeliever from the true, genuine food of the child, the believer. Why? It's your secret feast. Bride has something special she's feeding on. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 27 and 28, you find that this chapter, there's certainly a lot of prophecies building together. And he's talking in Luke 17, it refers to the revealing of the Son of Man. But here it says, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And then Brother Branham makes verse 28 a very prominent scripture in his ministry. And really gives an interpretation that only a prophet could have brought. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Now some translations render it vultures. And some theologians talk about different ways of interpreting the eagles. Well, that the crest of the Roman, and they'd be gathered together around the body of Christ as it hangs upon the cross, and all these different interpretations. And we could perhaps take some of those and see even a compound type there, maybe a compound fulfillment. But then a prophet comes to whom God has given the interpretation, and he says that wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered. And he's talking about it's the word that the eagle is gathered to. Because as the light cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And this coming of the Son of Man is going to be a revelation that the eagles are drawn to. It's a light that only they see. It's a voice only they hear. It's an entrance that's been opened up to her and to her alone. And right there in the presence of her enemies, she's feasting. As it says in Luke 17, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Brother Branham says in question and answers part one there in 64, he says, we got fresh food today. Everybody wants something fresh. Well, we've got the freshest. As a matter of fact, all the fresh food we eat today, wherever you go and get it, whether it be your own table or the grocery store, farm to table, whatever it might be, the restaurants, they don't have it as fresh as we've got it. That's the antitype. The spiritual food is the true type. We've got fresh food today. It's the original organic. Amen. Listen, this is clean provender. They can't touch this certification. Amen. Nothing mixed in, no pesticides, not sprayed with this. Don't have to worry about the ground, don't have to worry about runoff. And listen, you don't even have to pay for it. Price has been paid, freely given to you. He says, we got fresh food today. That's the word that's promised to this hour. Be made manifest in this hour. That's where the eagles are, where the carcass is. Amen. That's what we've gathered together for. Listen, let's just be honest with each other. I don't know how far Brother Homer Longoria is traveling. Brother Tom, I don't know how long it is for you to get here. It's got to be a ways. But what, 3 hours or so? I drove 3 hours to get here. Listen, we're not just coming for a potluck. Hallelujah. We're eagles gathered around the fresh word. That's our bond. That's what we have in common. That's why we enjoy getting together. We might not even remember the food we eat, but the word we're feasting on, that's the strength that binds us together. That's why we drive for hours to come here. That's why you do it as regularly as you do. Why? Because this word means something to us. It's not the potluck that follows. It's the word of God that we're feasting on right now that matters to us. That's why the eagles are here. If you didn't know it, I'm telling you right now. That's why you're here, Eagle. That's why you young people, that's why you're here. That's why you've come this way. That's why God's preserved you. That's why God's looked out after you. Because you're an eagle that's come to this. And anointed ones at the end time, he says, where the fresh meat is, the word for the season, there the eagles will gather. Where the fresh meat is. He says, eagles, I'm just kind of skipping around in this message, eagles, the fresh kill of the word. Amen. The word that's raised up and fattened and been made manifest and given out to the food for the children. That's what I want. I want the word that's been raised up and fattened. That's the saying, I don't want to eat the soup made of the shadow of a chicken that starved to death, something like that. I just moved to North Carolina, so I need to learn all these sayings. You know, there's different ones I've tried to learn through the years. That's so good, you put it on your forehead, beat yourself to death with your tongue. Things like that, you know? They treat you so many ways, you're bound to like one of them. You know, there's all these different things you hear. The fresh kill of the word. Word that's raised up and fattened. And then he's talking about how you can't feed dead things, rotten things to an eagle, and even talks about how that dove, it just can't go and eat on the things that a crow can. He uses those types many times. And then he makes this statement, neither can you feed the bride of Jesus Christ Pentecostalism. Now let me emphasize this. Pentecostalism isn't just a way you sing your songs. It doesn't have to do with worship and how loud the music is or the style of music. Pentecostalism is a failure to go all the way in God's word. Pentecostalism is not walking in the light of God's word. He says, neither can you feed the bride of Jesus Christ Pentecostalism. No, indeedy. Maggot bloat organizations, nothing doing. No. And he says, the fresh meat that comes from the throne. That's what we want. We want the fresh meat that comes from the throne. Praise the Lord. In the message, it is the rising of the sun. He says, a genuine quickened eagle lives by that. That's what you got to recognize. A genuine quickened eagle lives by that. I believe you're all eagles today. Whether you're living by this or not. And if you're not living by it, you just need to be quickened. We might see young people, young couples, young families where they're just not quite living by that yet. They just need to be quickened. He says, and he raised up Christ from the grave, dwelling in you, has quickened your mortal body unto his presence. You recognize it. You're no longer a scavenger. Think of that story. He talks about that eagle here in the barnyard. As long as it was, for all the time that it was in the barnyard, it was always an eagle. And have you thought about it? Every single one of those chickens had a vested interest in making sure the eagle never recognized who it was. Because eagles eat chickens. And so every single one of those chickens are going around, don't you say anything about how different he looks. One day, chicken comes around, cluck, 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 don't you just realize this guy doesn't look anything like us? Be quiet. So does he find out he's going to eat you? And you're going around saying, I don't get it. I don't enjoy this stuff they enjoy. I don't feel like they feel. And they're always like, no, you're just a chicken now. You're just a chicken now. But he's really an eagle. Why? Because they had something to lose. They had something to lose if that eagle ever woke up. Why? Because the eagles want it fresh. Hallelujah. Then one day that eagle heard an eagle cry and could identify with that voice. Amen. Yes, sir. Glory to God. Amen. He knew right back to go to get chickens. Yes, sir. Hey, I've scouted. I live there. I know where they hide. I know at times they leave the coop. God works all things for our good. Hey, amen. All those years you lived in the barnyard, God's going to use it for an eagle's good. Don't you ever regret it. Don't you look back and think that God wasn't with you. Once God's quickened you, he'll use all of it. He says you're no longer a scavenger. He says you're an eagle. You don't want the things of the world. You're a son and daughter of God. You're feasting at a fountain. Oh, I love this. You're feasting at a fountain that the world knows nothing about. He says you're drinking it. The world knows nothing about. It's a secret feast. He says you're eating hidden manna that the world never even know nothing about. I don't mind all the negatives there. Never even know nothing. That's right. They never even know nothing. He says, for you are an eagle. He says it in there a couple times. You're an eagle. You're an eagle, young people. Don't try to get satisfied on the things of this world. It'll never satisfy. It can sensitize you for a little while. It can excite you for a moment. But it'll never satisfy. There'll be a little something happen. It'll get you by for a day. But how do you feel the next day? Listen, but this word, this manna that's available to you, these things that you can feed on, it satisfies. Listen, when you're in the world and you do the dirt of the world, I don't can't tell you how many times you wake up and say, I never want to do that again. But if you ever come in contact with something supernatural, no matter how much it thrills you, no matter how much it thrills you, once you've come through that, you say, I can't wait to get it again. I can't wait to feel that again. I can't wait to do that again. Why? It's what you belong to. It says you're an eagle. Amen. And I'll wrap it up with this statement. This is my last one. So I hope these other brothers showed up or we're going to be eating sooner than later. Brother Bram says, an anointed one's at the end time. He says, the Son of Man is Christ. He is the one that you are feeding on. He says, you're not feeding on a man. His words will fail. And Brother Bram made it very, very clear. He says, I'm a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man. So he's not pointing to himself. We know you can't separate the message from the messenger. And we should never try to do that. But then Brother Branham makes a statement right here in teaching on the A Son of Man and the Son of Man. He says, can you get it separated now? So there's a point. You can't separate them. But there's a point at which that messenger's message is successful. And he's delivered the message. And then you can get it separated properly. If you try to separate it to get the message, you'll never get it. But once you get the message, you can see it separated. You can see who he is and you can see Christ that he's introduced you to. He is the one that you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. A man, his words will fail. But you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. That's what you're feeding on. This is the bride's secret feast. And I appreciate this statement here. He says, if you haven't fed fully on every word, to give yourself strength to fly above all these denominations and things of the world, he says, will you do it at this time? Will you at this time do it while we pray? I wonder if we could bow our heads for a moment. And before I turn it over to Brother Samuel or whoever's going to be coming next, if in these few moments, 30, 40 minutes that I've just been expressing these things that were impressed upon my heart. If you know you haven't taken your place at this table and you'd want to do so, I'd invite you to. I'd invite you now as a young person. If you know you haven't said, Lord, here I am. I know I've heard this message feast and I've heard these quotes and these terminologies and something stirring in your heart saying, man, just as you were preaching, Brother Aaron, it felt like my identity was drawing near to me. There's something I identified with. Would there be someone here, if it's not a young person, maybe it's somebody who's backslid, maybe a young man or young woman, maybe somebody who just wants to say, who said, Lord, I'm being drawn to this table. I've never taken my place. And I want to give you an opportunity to stand. You're not going to bother me. It's not going to bother me if no one stands. As long as you have a peace in your heart that you shouldn't, I'm okay with that. I don't need someone to stand to vindicate this or anything, but what I want to do is I want to impress upon you now before we pray. If you want to be at this table, would you be willing to surrender your heart to Him now? Do you want to feed on every word to give yourself strength to fly above these things of the world? That's why they have such a pull on you, because you haven't sat at the right table yet. I'll give you one more opportunity. Anybody would want to stand. Say, Lord, I want to take a place at this table. Praise the Lord. He says, while we pray, let me just pray for you now. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, it is a thrill to me to be able to speak on these things, to come together with people I haven't fellowshiped with. Lord, to stand behind a desk that I've never preached behind, to stand before people, which is the greatest privilege. It's not the desk I stand behind, but the people I stand before that I've never had a chance to minister to, and to lift up this word, this bread, this strong meat that we have in this end time. And Lord, I believe there's power in this bread. I believe there's strength in this food. And Lord, if there be any who've never taken their place at the table, may tonight they know the invitation is open. That you're calling to them, that you're speaking to them. Come, take your place at this table. Enjoy this feast. Come and join us that this world knows nothing about. And Father, I pray that as eagles, we could be more disciplined in what we feed upon. More disciplined at the table, more disciplined at the feast. And Lord, as we have an opportunity to be together for a few more hours and fellowshipping and dining at a natural table, may you have your place in it, Lord. May you have the preeminence. Father, I pray that you bless all those who are here listening to these things. May it be a strength to them. May they be reminded that there's a source that they can go back to. That the sermons that are preached over this pulpit are not just the words of a man, but it's men of God lifting up the voice together. That they're breaking down this body word of the Son of Man for us to feed upon. That there's a source in tapes and MP3s and books that we can go to. And all of it collectively is working together to raise this bride up out of this world to one day meet you in the air. Father, I commit them to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. We'll turn it over now.
Amen. Let's just, musicians, come on and let's just sing a song if anybody wants for prayer or anything like that. Then we'll go into the others. You wonder why I swapped. When we come to that a while ago, we would have had Brother Tom Corshane, the only pastor in the building.
Brother Tommy's here.
Well, that's what I mean. He got here later. Brother Homer, that's what I was hoping they'd do, would get here to that time where they could be recognized. Okay? All right. So let's just sing a hymn, and if anybody has a need, the altar's open. Glad to pray for you, and then we'll go into our other part of the service. Okay?
Oh, to God's unchanging hands, let's stand. Oh, and oh, to God's unchanging hands.
Come on, Brother Tom, and greet the people and bring your singers and things. All right, come on.
Praise the Lord. Did you enjoy that?
Amen.
My, oh my. You know, I'm just astounded at the word, the freshness of it, the wonderful power of it. You know, I hadn't seen my brother in about 20 years, I guess it's been, and I heard him when he first started to preach, and he was an eagle then. He's got a few more bigger feathers on now. Just real pleased, you know, and just to say it again, you know, His dad is a great minister too, but his dad shouldn't have been either. His dad was actually a warlock to start. But God had something else in mind.
Glory.
And what is the vindication of the message of the hour? It's fine if dad has it, but the son's not going to automatically get it. But this son got it. That son got it. And I'm just proud of Brother Aaron. Just wonderful proclamation. Right in the midst of the enemy, we get to feed on the word of God. You know, I was thinking today we're living almost in the age of accusation. You know, during the entire time, except for about a year or so of Noah preaching, he was being accused of being wrong. And truth be told, science was proving him wrong for 100 and some years. All the philosophers were proving him wrong. Every week, though, there was Noah with an anointed message. And you go down a little further and you see Israel, and they're pushing on that mud trying to make bricks. And there was a prophecy that went out, and it was a false one for 400 years, but after that it became a real true one. And they were under the notion that that prophecy that Israel would be given freedom, that it was false, and hundreds of years passed and it looked false. And then we step ahead in the future a little bit, and there's a man doing a great work for God, arresting Christians. And he was doing an astounding job, and he was very well learned, and he was capable politically and socially and religiously. And, you know, all of a sudden, though, he went crazy. He kind of, he joined a cult. and they're chasing him the majority of his life. They captured him. They beat him up. They shipwrecked him. They beat him up again. They thought he was left him for dead. He come back alive, and they couldn't get him to stop talking. Finally, King Agrippa says, "My Paul, all this learning's kind of made you mad." And they were under the assumption that he was mad, but little did they realize that Paul's anointing, Paul's word would be writing a majority of the New Testament, because it was right. Amen. So here we are in the end time, and there's never been an age of accusation like this age, and never has there been a table set in the presence of our enemies. We're being accused politically, no matter if someone hates somebody, they're wrong, no matter what they do. And religiously, you know, it's going to type the same thing as politics. It's all accusation, and it's all, there's just no faithfulness. But there will be a truth. Right. Amen. You know, they're tearing up the Constitution of our country and into shreds, but it's still holding its own. They're tearing up the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's websites all over now telling you all the mistakes in the Bible. Brother, sister, feed on the Bible. It'll be all right. There's voices all over once again picking on the prophet of the hour, saying he's false, and they seem, their anointing just seems right. And now you got to pronounce Jesus some Hebrew way, and you've got to believe this or you got to believe that. Give me the old time gospel, because this bride has been sealed with the Holy Ghost. This bride just wasn't sealed under justification. She's sealed with sanctification and the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the person of Christ himself in you. You can't deny who you are. Just look at and stretch them out and fly. And my, what a powerful sermon we heard today. It wasn't even exactly preaching. It was more a declaration of what we believe. That sermon and that sermon alone could change lives in a world where we are hearing so much information that will change nothing. It has become scientifically the accepted word that there's global warming. And my, it just, they're not understanding warming. We have changed so much in what people consider truth and how they're aging things. I heard something, a rock was 7 billion years old. I put on the internet, you sure it couldn't have been 6.5 billion years old? Men guessing at what is truth. Men claiming to have truth. Why do you believe the message of the hour? It's because what it's done to us. It is, I cannot say the message would be false. It would be to say the very life that I've been given is false. It would be to deny that a ex-warlock could become a pastor, who could have a son, who could become a declarer of the truth to the stature. I just love sitting behind that man of God. Many people teach a lot of things and then go off on the word. Boy, I like hearing somebody that can teach and still say amen to all the word of God. Amen. So say amen to the word of the Lord. We're, I haven't been gone, or I still believe the message. I still have enough peanut butter to make it to church. We love everybody. We're going to see our day of fulfillment. Amen. I remember Elijah sent his servant, you go up to the hill and you tell me when you see a cloud. I don't see anything. They'll look again. I see a cloud, but it's such a little thing. He says, I see the abundance of rain. Amen. And God's standard that he's raising up is the final voice to this final age, which will be you and me. So say amen to all the word of God. And it, I just loved what he said about the eagle. Those chickens had a vested interest. You know, I like it too, but you know, the only one that didn't know he was an eagle was him. And I imagine even those foxes, you know, and some of the enemies thought, well, you know, that's not an eagle, but I'm not going to tell him. You know, it was quite a blessing to have that eagle in that coop. Amen. But the eagle come loose. Amen. I can't wait to rise up with the Lord. We might not see each other again. We may see each other on the way up. This is really getting close. Oh my, if you've never believed it, believe it now like never before. Cling to this holy scripture. Don't you let loose of it. God knew just what he was doing when he sent a prophet. It was to fulfill scripture. Right. Believe the prophets. Because it did rain. Because Israel did get freed. Right. Because Paul was right. He had met the master. Oh, I just love it. Love being here. Thank you to everybody. Do we have a song prepared? Come on up. Just good. Sometime come down, visit us in Sweetwater, Tennessee, where we love the message of the hour and the holy gospel. Amen. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise God.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. To worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Oh, so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me, and I'll never know how much it cost to see my sins upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sins upon that cross. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be with you all. This other song, we was driving in the road, is pouring rain, all that stuff coming in. And I think we know, you guys know the chorus, and I just had this song really on my heart, and it fits right in with what he preached tonight. So just if you know the song, feel free to sing along.
Looking out from his throne, the Father of light and of men chose to make himself known and show us the way back to him. Speaking wisdom and truth into the hearts of peasants and kings, he began to unveil the truth that would change the course of all things. With eyes wide open, all would see the Word is alive, and it cuts like a sword through the darkness, with the message of life to the hopeless and afraid, breathing life into all who believe. The Word is alive, and this world and its glories will fade, but its truth, it will not pass away. It remains yesterday and forever the same. The Word is alive. The Word is alive. Simple strokes on a page, eternity secrets revealed, carried on from age to age. It speaks true to us even still. As the rain falls from heaven, feeds the earth before it returns, let your word fall on us and bring forth the fruit that you deserve. With eyes wide open, let us see the Word is alive, and it cuts like a sword through the darkness, with the message of life to the hopeless and afraid, breathing life into all who believe. The Word is alive, and this world and its glories will fade, but its truth, it will not pass away. It remains yesterday and forever the same. The Word is alive. The Word is alive. The Word is alive.
Let's give it a good hand. Come on, Brother Tony. Welcome the people and bring your singers up. Come on, Brother Tony.
And while he comes, we'll also have Sister Esther. If you don't mind coming up, Sister.
Yeah. Tell him to come on up to sing while they're at it. Bless you.
I appreciate it. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here. And what a message. How many appreciate a message?
Amen.
God bless you. Go ahead.
Place where I'll go, you know it already.
Come on, Brother Collins. We always try to represent the pastors. Now, we don't represent you because you're a minister. We represent the pastors because, you know, that way we keep it in the family of the, of our fellowship meetings and things. But this old brother, Eugene Collins, he's a little bit older than I am. But he is a fine brother. Known him for 50 years.
Brother, God bless you.
And he's still the same guy I met 50 years ago.
Praise the Lord. Boy, I tell you, I thank God for that word tonight.
Amen.
Brother Kashane, that was great. And I tell you what, I don't believe he made that up. I believe that was coming right from the throne. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, I thank God for his grace and mercy, how he's helped us and been good to us. And like the brother said, you know, I just feel like my cup's running over.
Amen.
Man, I tell you, I just here lately, and I know I'm getting up in age a little bit. And got up to 77. That's a pretty good number.
Really?
You know what? I'm getting over on the 8th part of it now. I think Brother Dale's already got there about it.
Right.
But you know what? It gets gooder, don't it?
Amen.
Sweeter as the days go by. Oh, I'll tell you, I've been listening to a message here lately and getting in there and going back through the tapes. And I got all them tapes that Brother Dale gave me. And I'll tell you what, I put a case in there every week, just about it, a little box full, and stick one in my player. And every day I'm listening to them at night. And I tell you, there's just something about that message that's there's food in there that's for you. To give you eternal life, ain't it? I mean, I know Pentecost was good and God blessed it, you know. And all them messages down through Luther and Wesley. And, but still, a something was greater that God had out there. You know, just like I've been wanting to see Jesus, and that's what I come up here for today, to see Jesus. And you know, I saw him.
Glory.
I tell you what, you get what you go for, don't you?
Right.
You know what? Brother Branham one time, he's telling a little story about a little boy. And he said this little boy, his daddy passed away before he got to see him, you know. And he said he got up to 12 years old, but he had a little brother that was older than him. And he said that little brother, they got the telling about it. And that little brother told him, he said, you know what? He said, brother, he said, you know, they tell me that I act just like daddy. And you know, he said, you know, I talk like him. They tell me that I talk like daddy. And he said, you know, all the things that I do, you know, it's like my daddy did. And his little brother that was 12 years old said, well, now I see daddy.
Yeah.
He said, I see him now.
Right.
He said, I see him in you. Praise
right.
the Lord.
Amen.
You know, that's how did I see Jesus. That's how when I come
Glory.
Up here. Today I begin to see my brother and sisters, and I tell you what, I begin to see him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh my! And tonight I really got to see him more when that precious brother broke this message and began to show us the places through this messages where God is trying to get us. You know, Brother Brown said you had to see the sound before you could hear the voice.
Right.
And you know what? If we go back and look at that and look through the message, you'll begin to see the sign. Then when you see that sign, recognize that you hear that voice speak to you. Oh, that's what I begin to listen to, because I see the real sign that God put here today. And oh, brother, that voice has begun to speak in my life and my soul and showing me what I am, praise the Lord, where I came from. And you know, when we begin to see that and see where we came from and what God's are doing for us, I tell you, it becomes a real food to you, don't it? Becomes life to you. And I tell you, I believe we're eating off of that spiritual food today.
Amen.
Praise God. I hear Brother Dale a lot. I pull him up on that internet thing. My grandson, them do down there, and they'll say some of the services. And I'll tell you what, I hear him up here teaching this message. Praise God. I'll tell you what, y'all begin to look more like Jesus every time I see you.
All right.
Oh my, begin to act like him. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, we're going to have to get like that, ain't we?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If we eat that food, it's going to do something. It's going to have to digest in us, fellowship grain. It's got to get real in us. Amen. It's got to become a life to us. Praise God. And I found another reason. You know, sometimes it seems like the brothers has a time of loving one another like they ought to. You know, if you'll just go back and read your Bible, you ain't going to love God too much if you don't love your brother.
Right.
I tell you what, you're going to have to see the Lord in him before you get to see the Lord, ain't you? So that's what I began to do. I got to, when I see my precious brother and my little sisters, and I see them praying God or talking about him and living for him, boy, it just gives me something. Oh, my. Something starts in me just to get greater and sweeter and sweeter because I know it's God. Amen. Oh, I'll tell you, we're so glad to be here tonight. Praise the Lord. And just thank God for getting to be here and hearing this great message tonight. I'll tell you what, if you need anything tonight, you should get it. You should have got it. I hope you did through hearing this message. Praise God, because it was God speaking to us. God is showing us these things through his word and through the message. And you know, when we stand before God, we ain't going to, can't say he didn't talk to us, because he did. That was him tonight talking to us. Praise the Lord. And it was real. Praise God. I thank God for that tonight. I'm going to ask my grandchildren if they'll come up and sing a little song for you tonight. I believe you'll enjoy them. I tell you, Aaron here is a wonderful, my little song leader. Thing at the church, and I tell you what, God's got a hold of his life. Sometimes he gets to shouting, but ain't nothing wrong with that, are there? Oh, mighty gets happy sometimes. I'll tell you what, he just blesses your heart. So we just thank God tonight for you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hey, man, I'd like to say it's good to be here tonight.
Praise the Lord.
I know God's here because I heard him in the preacher, and I know he's real sincere with God. But not only because of that, but because I've been talking to him and I brought him with me. That's the main thing. We got to bring him with us.
Amen.
Not just today, but every day of our life.
Amen.
It ain't just one day a week walk with God. It's every day. And I thank God I can do that.
Right.
I thank God I see it in my brothers and sisters. I know God's here because I feel him. I know he's here. I know that I'm unworthy to call upon your name. For all my life I've been a sinner, and for that I am ashamed. But I heard that you would listen, so I'm giving you my plea. I'm too unworthy, Lord, to come to you. Could you please come down to me? I know that there are others who can offer more than I. And I promise you I'd understand if for me you had no time. But I think I just hit bottom, and I'm looking up to see. Oh, I'm too unworthy, Lord, to come to you. Could you please come down to me? Well, I guess I must be reaping from the seeds that I have sown. Oh Lord, you owe me nothing. We haven't spoken for so long. But I heard that you would listen, so I'm giving you my plea. I'm too unworthy, Lord, to come to you. Could you please come down to me? I know that there are others
Who can offer more than I? But I promise you I'd understand if for me you had no time. But I think I just hit bottom and I'm looking up to see. I'm too unworthy, Lord, to come to you. Could you please come down to me? Oh, I think I just hit bottom and I'm looking up to see. I'm too unworthy, Lord, to come to you. Could you please come down to me? Paul was a man the Lord could use, but to preach God's word he did not choose. Oh, but the Lord helped him to change his mind, and he saw much better when he struck him blind. Oh, what was that you said, Lord?
What was that you said, Lord?
Are you talking to me? Seems the blinder I get, the better I see. Oh, won't you tell me again? For I'll do it this time. Oh, I see much better,
for I see much better
since you struck me blind. Now the Lord told Jonah to preach his word, but it seems as though he had never heard. But with his mind made up inside of the well, oh, when he got out, you should have heard him yell. What was that you said, Lord?
What was that you said, Lord?
Are you talking to me? Seems the blinder I get, the better I see. Won't you tell me again? For I'll do it this time. For I see much better since you struck me blind. Oh, what was that you said, Lord? Are you talking to me? Seems the blinder I get, the better I see. Oh, won't you tell me again? I'll do it this time. For I see much better since you struck me blind.
Okay.
He's been running tests. They don't know what's wrong with him, but he's been sick for a couple of days. David Gammon just called to pray for him.
All right.
They're running tests right now, but they do not know what's wrong with him.
Right. Everybody hear that? Brother Homer's in the hospital, and he needs prayer. So let's just all, when we get through and doing whatever, if there's any more singing, then we'll just pray and go on and eat. And we don't have any other pastor, do you? See, we've never set up to recognize preachers. It's set up to recognize the pastors that are in our group, and it's that way, you know, because we're not throwing away the rest of them. We're just doing the pastors. you know, because you can get a whole building full of preachers, and you got a line till midnight, you know, talking and singing. But that's not. But what I'd like to do, sister, can you sing one? Everybody don't know this sister. She's wrote a lot of songs. People don't know about it. She could be in. She could be at a lot of these places in the world. They'd be glad to have her. So just pray for her.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Bless her, Lord.
To her, as she fell down on her knees, but the king held out his scepter. As for her people, she did plead, anything can happen in the presence of the king, and there is he.
pastors, right? All right, we'll get down to the end of it. And I guess Brother Homer announced the next one later and all, but as we stand, let's stand and pray. We pray over the food. The sisters have got it prepared and everything. Everybody stays and eat. Hope we have a good time. At least you can get a chicken bone. And but just leave me one. And we have a saying around here. It's going to be hard to do tonight, but we have a saying around here, visitors go first. So now you visitors, you get down there and get in line because I'm hungry. And I'm going to get in line before you if you don't get in line and push on. So don't stop nowhere and talk. Just go down, visitors first, then us home folks will flow right in, you know, and everything. But I appreciate the brother coming and ministering for us tonight. Let's give him another hand. Never met him before. I think I did meet his dad years ago and all, but I'm not certain on that. But anyhow, we appreciate him. He'll be with us tomorrow in the services. But just come and be with us if you don't have somewhere to go. We don't pull from nobody. But we do say we'll come in here because faith comes by hearing, right? Amen. Amen. Now, all minds clear. Anything to be said? Anything else you'd like to put on the prayer request that goes with it? Nobody? Brother? Remember Brother Collins? Yeah, he's a young man. He's found out he's 2 years younger than I am. He ain't as old as can be then. Oh, that's good. But we appreciate everybody coming, fellowshipping, and we make sure you tell the pastor, the minister, how much you appreciate what he brought. And just because we gathered for that purpose, we have a fellowship that fellowships together with, you know, with the brothers and sisters, but we still come, faith cometh by hearing. That's the fellowship that we do, right? Okay? So let's just pray and then we'll go downstairs. Father, we thank you for tonight and your love unto us. Thank you for the message that, Lord, we heard from our brother. And we pray that you would just help it to dwell within the hearts of each and every one of us. And may we eat and sleep and everything on it tonight. And may it be a part of our lives and our doings because it is your word and we thank you. Just bless him and be with him tomorrow and ministering for us and just give him what you'd have for us to hear. Be with everybody, Lord, on the way home. Give a safe journey to everyone. Let your love be there, rainy weather and everything. Just bypass it, Lord. Let it dry off and everything be okay. And let everybody get home. We love you and we thank you. Sanctify the food to our bodies and us into your grace. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. So as I said, now visitors, get down and get in the line and lick your chicken bone. But don't stay in line eating. You sit in line, you stop in the line eating, somebody gonna push you. So we're just kidding. All right.
Hold to God's unchanging hand. That's all.